Good morning. Today is Thursday, the 7th of January, 7th day of the year. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Undersheriff, which means he's the number dose.
That is correct.
Billy Hansel. Hey, dude. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Brian. How are you?
Good, good. Is so far the holiday season?
So far, the holiday season
going
is
okay?
Well. It is very, very well.
Good. How come?
I think the weather has kind of prevented a lot of people from traveling, I think it's just been a good, mellow time of year.
You ready for your quote?
I am.
Do you remember Sophocles? I don't. I remember seeing some stuff from him, though.
Yes.
All right. So this is from Sophocles, 450 B.C.
A long time ago.
Quote, "The pleasantest laughter is at the expense of our enemies."
Profound.
Well, don't dwell on it too much, man. There is, I would imagine, a challenge that you guys have got in law enforcement. I mean, there's legal components to this, but also regular guy components. When you present information to the community, and whether it's electronically or through the news media, how do you know how much is too much? How do you know how granular you need to get with the information to provide the basic, but not get to the point where either you're snoozing people or you're just talking jargon?
Well, I think it's important that public information does get out to the public. And, you know, with the public is feeding off of information, and we have so many information sources now through Twitter, Facebook, as well as radio.
I thought
radio
you were going to say so many bottom feeders.
Yeah, there's a lot of bloggers out there. And so what we like to do in the sheriff's office is we want to push information out there that that is credible. Now, we want to inform the public of public safety concerns. We want to let them know about things that we are doing, crime trends, as well as significant events throughout the county. So they're aware, and there's because, you know, people want to know. Just like we talked about, there was a crash at Boone and S last night, and there was, you know, there's pretty significant things that are going on there in the city of Eureka, and people kind of want to know, hey, what's happening?
The curiosity factor,
and then how fast paced society is now, and how quick information is getting out there. All you need is someone on scene with a smartphone to take pictures and do a tweet, and now information's out there.
Does that do a service or does that do a disservice?
Well, it helps the public. It does in some aspects, but it can misinterpret information that's going on out there, and it all depends on what that tweet is and how many people are retweeting or following or. And how much that information is actually taking effect out there.
You running this next cycle? You just practicing?
Yes.
Good, good, good. Well, we'll nail one foot down so at least he's running in circles when we come back. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Undersheriff Billy Hansel. Looking at some of this information that is out there and gets thrown around, how much of it is serving the public need? How much of it is causing problems? You know, whether it's inefficiencies that you guys have to chase things down that really aren't, or potential libelous stuff that's just being thrown out there because I would think that, you know, if I tell you something, it's not libel or slander because it's not for the public. I put it on Facebook or out on the internet, that is for public consumption. I think there'd be this whole new raft of lawsuits of people saying things that maybe they shouldn't be. Do you guys have to deal with any of the counter side of this?
Well, we do. I mean, people sometimes get misinformation out there regarding crime or crime trends or something that has occurred. I mean, they see something and become self-reporting to the public about an event. They take a snapshot in time. They report their observations, but they don't know the full story. And then people are able to comment on that and forward that on. And then a lot of time it's misinformation out there. And so what we like is we like the credible news sources that are able to come in and to ask the appropriate questions and for us to get that information out there. And it might not be as much information as someone would like at the very beginning, but during the course of an investigation, you know, there's only a certain amount of information we can release from the very beginning. And but we want to stress public safety. And some of those times when there is a public safety issue, we want to get it out there, such as a crime that just occurred where there's an active suspect that we're looking for. We will report those facts to the public, and so the public has can assist us with the apprehension or at least finding the suspect if they have information to report it back to us.
The Amber Alert is something that's pretty well established throughout the country. I would imagine that there have been some incidences of situations where people have decided then to take it on their own instead of reporting to the cops. They hunt down, they chase, and it's the wrong individual. Oh, how do you, how would you, yeah, that's okay. Well-worn path, fine. how does that get unwound?
You know what, with our computer society now, I mean, I think the best example was the Boston bombers a couple years ago.
The marathon guys?
Yeah. The marathon guys, where the information was leaked out, well, not leaked out, it was pushed out by FBI about the pictures of the two male suspects. And then social media then started putting all the pieces together and started pushing information back to the FBI, well, you know, about those individuals. And I think people want to help. But I think what we need to do as law enforcement is make sure that the people know, not necessarily to broadcast that information out, but to report that back to the investigators that can actually do something with that information, that can go make the arrest, serve the search warrants, obtain evidence to actually convict this person. Because we can't just convict someone on social media. We actually have a vetting court process and due process for someone. And so we have to push that information to the district attorney so they can prosecute.
Has there been changes of venue?
Absolutely.
Caused by social media?
Yes. Too much information out there is actually a bad thing.
Or biased.
Yes. Yeah, we can. And we have to be careful with the information we put out there, because we don't want to have...
Well, you guys doing it is one thing.
Well, yes.
Billy Jr. putting it out on his own Facebook is a whole different thing.
Yes. The defense attorney for someone who is being prosecuted can bring up all that information to a judge, and judge can make a determination that the jury pool is too tainted in our community, and they would push for a change of venue.
So you guys could be rock solid locked down.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the court can mandate a gag order against us, the defense, and the prosecution to releasing information.
But that doesn't necessarily limit...
It doesn't. The witnesses out there, yeah. The witnesses out there can you know, go and talk to the news media, despite the fact that we would encourage them not to, and that could really, really taint.
Or not even bother with the media, just throwing it out there themselves.
Right.
Whoa.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Well, I would think a good reference point would be, I think most of us have played the game. Okay, there's a bank robbery, there's a... stolen car, there's a something. What do you look like?
Yeah.
And you come up with 15 different descriptions, right?
True.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, same thing. What was going on? 15 different people, 15 different impressions.
Yes, it can be. It can be that way. People interpret things differently. They hear different things. They see different things. And so it's important to interview all the witnesses. And, you know, when we do present cases to the district attorney and there's some variances with some of the witness testimony, that can be easily, you know, kind of discussed. And we can, the district attorney we know, working at the DA's office, we know that people just interpret things different ways. So
what would you guys recommend for the best for public safety, that they send you the Twitters, the information, the pictures, their comments, whatever it is, and kind of pool it there? Or what?
So what we encourage people to do when they actually are witnesses to crime or they have information that can help us solve a crime, to contact us. And the last thing we want to do is have someone forward a tweet or a Facebook page, a posting, or something on even a blog saying, this is the person who did this. And then we would have to go and try and run down that information. And I think
now, is that a good way for you guys to get information? Let's say there's an Amber and somebody drives past in the car and it might be the license plates. I would imagine you don't want them to engage in pursuit.
No.
You probably don't want them to continue driving following and be texting you. What is the recommended if they see something goofy or if there is a response to something like that? What do you guys want? What's the most efficient way to make contact?
Most efficient way is to call 911 in those circumstances. And they can you know, get on the phone with a dispatcher that can immediately dispatch a deputy sheriff to that scene.
Or law enforcement agent. KINS, News and Information Times, 831.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Undersheriff Billy Hansel. Looking at the region, what was last year like? Was it a good year? You know, everybody's saying it's an active year. Okay, fine. Well, if it wasn't active, we wouldn't need so many of you guys. Okay, so we'll set that one aside. Was it a good year? Will it be a memorable year? How are you imaging what you see in the rearview mirror?
2015 was a definitely an interesting year. We had a lot of homicides, and we also noticed that now that the sheriff's office is in charge of the coroner's office, we see that side of things. And the amount of drug-related deaths in 2015 was at an all-time high.
Yeah, I would love to have had the discussion with Dan when he came in and recorded his comment for today, talking about the amount of gun violence throughout the country. We certainly are in a very narrow, myopic, weird part of the country. Okay, so if we say that, it's granted. What percentage of the gun violence activities that you see in Humboldt County are drug-related?
We're compiling those stats now. I apologize for not having
this.
Those
is your gray today. Hair talking. This is not hard numbers.
Well, okay. I can say 75% of the homicides, gun violence, are drug-related, I would say.
So then my question is, because Dan was using Japan and Canada, what is the drug use there versus the drug use here?
Right.
You know, I'm not that well versed in the Japanese culture, so I don't know. I presume, you know, sake is there, so at least we got the alcohol component. But to see, I would think you guys probably cringe every time somebody talks about guns and restricting access to guns. It's a cultural thing, is what I see it as. Yeah. That's kind of what you're saying also in your way?
Yeah. You know, I think our bigger problem here in the United States is drugs. You know, Humboldt County especially, we have a huge opiate problem. Heroin, prescription drugs. It is a huge epidemic problem here in Humboldt County. And I believe that that is a major issue that has caused a lot of the violence. You know, we also have, you know, the marijuana industry that, you know, marijuana itself, people want to say that it's a, you know, it's a peaceful drug. But the big business side of marijuana, the black market side of marijuana, is and can be very, very violent. And we have a lot of assault with deadly weapons, using guns. We have homicides relating to marijuana. But again, this is I see this as drug related.
I would think that it's not agriculture related. I mean, you don't see that happening in the wheat fields.
No.
The same stuff. So no. It's the illegality of it. When it becomes legalized, whether it's this fall or who knows when, do you see that the guns disappear, that the violence disappears, or does that continue even if it is legal?
Yeah, I don't see. I don't, when there's a regulatory side of an agricultural product, when there's civil things that people can do to enforce contracts, then I think people will take that route as opposed to the violent route. As it is right now, everything's off the books. You work for me, you don't fulfill your obligation, then I'm going to come to you with guns and try to get you to pay up, so to speak. That is, I think, as far as the black market's concerned, that's the enforcement arm that they use. And we've seen it time and time again with gun violence relating to marijuana.
All right, Kemosabe. Now, you have firmly set yourself up and the hook is set. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Bringing it on board now. Code enforcement.
Yes.
Okay, we've got the general plan. It'll have all the this says you have to do and you have to do. You're dealing with a culture that is an outlaw culture. And there may be 5-10% that decide they're going to be full law-abiding citizens. Thank you very much. Kiss, kiss, and everybody's happy. But it's still an illegal perspective, and it's still that outlaw renegade. Who gets the challenge of code enforcement? You know, are you going to chase? Who chases the pipe out of the water, pulling the water with no code to the illegal grow, and then tries to get compliance? Is that going to be SO?
That is not going to be the sheriff's office. That is going to be code enforcement. And that's going to be Fish and Game. That's going to be Cal Fire. That's going to be State Water Board. It's going to be all these regulatory agencies coming together. The sheriff's office will pursue criminal aspects of things. And if someone's selling marijuana and not abiding by the state law as far as medical marijuana, and we have evidence of that, we will go after someone. It doesn't matter how many permits that they have. Doesn't matter how many regulatory agencies that they've got a stamp of approval. If we have information and we obtain a search warrant written by, ordered by a judge that this person is growing marijuana for sale, then we'll go down and chop down the plants and present evidence to the district attorney that they're growing marijuana for sale. And that law is still on the books, despite the fact that people think it's, you know, legalized through medical marijuana, that marijuana is still illegal.
Okay, so we got the perspective of the undersheriff title.
Yes.
Billy Hansel, Humboldt County kid.
Yeah.
You really think that the Fish and Game are going to go out there with their gun enforcement? Or are you looking going, you know, something, either something's got to change,
yes,
or they're going to have paid escorts that have got guns? I mean, you're not going to send these guys out there. Strawn didn't do it when he had bad property tax owing,
right,
go out unarmed.
Right.
You guys are going out chasing millions of dollars.
Now, right. Now, I'm not saying that we're not going to be a part of something. We're not going to be a part of a task force. Because that's, I think, as we look into 2016, marijuana is going to be about all those regulatory agencies working together. And so we will go with Cal Fire, Fish and Game, code enforcement on some of these large commercial grows that we know that they are selling, as well as you know, not going through the permit process. They're stealing water out of the streams that are polluting our environment. It is going to be a multi-agency approach. So not only are they going to be prosecuted criminally, but then all these regulatory agencies have the ability to fine and to levy properties and take care of that.
Do you guys have the staff to pull that off?
No, we need 50 people to do that to actually make an impact here in Humboldt County. We're going to do our best.
You're not going to pull guys off the street to do this.
No, we're not going to pull the guys off the street. We'll basically have 3 to 4 full-time marijuana guys this next summer. And we do have the ability to...
3 or 4 out of 50 that are necessary?
Yes.
Boy, you're just going to give them the official T-shirt that has bullseyes on all sides of the shirt?
We know that this is an uphill battle, and so you know, but doesn't mean that that we're giving people the pass just because it's such an uphill battle. So we will a lot of the grows that we have taken off over the last couple of years have been complaint driven, whether it's complaints through state fish and game, fish and wildlife, or Cal Fire, or some of the ranchers out there that say, hey, listen, they're stealing the water. I don't have any water for my cattle. So, and we're able to investigate and fly over and to find the big illegal grows.
So there will be a air enforcement component of the sheriff's department.
Absolutely.
You've got the POs in there for the fixed wing aircraft and the helicopters, and
we do.
Or are you going to use? Oh, I could start a rumor. Should I start a rumor before the break? Or the drones? KINS News and Information Times 844.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Billy Hansel. During Prohibition, how did law enforcement treat the prosecution of that? Do any of the old records in the county show what the Sheriff's Department did during that period of time?
Well, that'd be interesting. We don't have the records going back that far, but that'd be very interesting to see.
Yeah, I know that many are drawing parallels.
Mm-hmm.
And it would kind of sort of seem to make sense. I don't know if you have speakeasies or not.
I think we can relate a lot to the alcohol and prohibition and that time when it's becoming legalized and the black market and big crime associated with that.
Now, you guys are starting to do some preliminary budget stuff right now?
Yeah, we're in the roughly mid-year budget.
Mm-hmm. So how are you looking for the enforcement part and the impact to the budget for 2016?
So right now, we have the gift of Measure Z. The community voted for that, and so right now we're looking at new proposals for that, and so we can push to the Board of Supervisors more an enforcement arm for marijuana.
So it is a factor. It is being recognized. You guys are anticipating and planning towards that. That's got to be weird. I mean, not knowing anything, but knowing you got to throw something
right
at it.
How much I think the only way to make sure that people abide by the new county ordinance is through an enforcement arm. A lot of people are not going to do it just because it's the right thing.
Kind of like the posted speed limit. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you.
See you tomorrow.